actually want to get to some Clemson basketball at some point. I don't know whether we're going to be able to do that today because we have just so much to get to. I mean, I get enough material that we go till midnight easily if my voice held up. And we lost a couple people. Robert in Georgia and Joe in Virginia. I'm coming to you right now on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Robert, how are you, Robert? Good to have you as always.
Walt, I'm great. I hope you are, and yeah. I hope you and Morgan have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Same to you.
I got a little 8-pick parlay lottery type, okay. ticket type pick. Right. But if I have time to get to that, because I want to dive into the interesting teams.
Yeah.
I think all the teams you've mentioned so far, including the two in-state teams, I agree with that. To me, though, the most interesting team that I'm looking at.
Let me ask you this. Let me stop you there. And Morgan, I'll bring you in this on this too. What's Clemson's record?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Walt. It's 9-3. You said it, I think, a week or so ago. Yeah. I think that was you.
I said
9-3.
Yeah, I am 9-3 in my ranking. That's sort of how it came out for me.
Yeah, I think that's dead on.
I personally have said 8. Just
okay.
You know, I think they'll do a little bit better than last year.
Okay, and eight is. I really was coming out like 8.5. So eight. Is possible too. So I think this is it. I think the ceiling is 10. What's the floor?
Six. Man,
if the
bringing back Chad experiment goes totally wrong, yeah, 6.
And if the quarterback play turns out to not be good enough,
yeah. I mean, you got to believe if the play calling and the scheme is there, one of those quarterbacks are going to be able to get the ball to some of those dang high-octane receivers. But, yeah, I think 6 could be the floor.
Well, and that's and so Morgan's 8, that would be right in the middle.
I have a hard – I mean, this team still has a lot of talent. I have a hard time believing they can't have a 500 season.
Well, that's why that's
at least.
The 4.
Yeah, I mean, that's my
thing. Yeah, see, the way that I'm looking at it, guys, is let's say the quarterback doesn't work out, the play calling doesn't work out, yeah. You get an injury on the in the linebacking core or on the defensive line, even an offensive lineman, yeah, you're looking at a 6-win
season.
Some
of the Chad Morris stuff is true believer stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, again, the reality is, and I'll just say it one more time, when the trial balloon of Chad Morris was first floated, the text line was unanimous and overwhelmingly against it. I mean, 100% against it.
I'm for it still.
Right, and now magically, with no game 7 being played, now it's the greatest hire of all time, which is interesting how you go from 100% against it, everybody hates it, to now it's the greatest hire of all time. You know, what is the truth? I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to find out. I know why he was brought here. I think it makes sense on the surface, but now let's see whether it can be executed.
I think if you get to that point, 5 is a disaster, and I don't think you keep Tom Allen at that, because if you're only winning 5, then the 4-2-5 and the Tom Allen experiment's done in my mind. It's not just Chad Morris. Honestly, Chad Morris probably get a pass because it would be his first year, and you'd say, "Oh, well, it's his first year." But
I didn't say anything about firing him. I'm just
speaking, so Morgan. Speaking let me of, ask you a question,
I'm speaking
Morgan.
I'm speaking of the reaction by the fans, and again, I'm asking what changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay.
There haven't been
any games played. How did you go?
Yeah,
how did
Morgan.
You go from like one day. Worst move ever to now it's like the most celebrated move with no game. There's no evidence. In other words, you know, it's honestly, Morgan, we're back to the vibes thing. It's a vibe thing.
Yeah, I got a question for Morgan. Let's just say, heaven forbid, Sammy Brown goes down with an injury against LSU. Are you going to fire Tom Allen if the defense suffers catastrophic?
Yeah, but you can't do that, because I mean, you can say that with anybody. If your best player gets hurt,
best player, yeah,
not the same.
I mean, I see what you're saying, Robert. It's Yeah, I mean, in that case, you know, you'd have to look at the whole, the body of work. You know, was it, and what was the fault?
Clemson's still thin at a lot of positions on defense.
And you're right. And that's not Tom Allen's fault still. And that's why, he, you know, instantly in the offseason, did you notice he was like, I mean, really not even the offseason. Well, I think it was like November. He was like, hey, we got to get more guys.
We
need better guys than this.
Look, for me personally, look, I'm not jumping on this fire people thing. Okay, I think we do way too much of that. I mean, people have tried to fire Brad Brownell 8 million times. Now they want to make him a saint and build statues of him. You know, people want to get rid of Backage now after one bad year, 16 good ones, one bad year. They want to get rid of him. You know, and I heard the Dabo Swinney stuff, which I think is patently ridiculous. I think he'll coach here as long as he wants, and I think he should. And I think he's the best leader in all college football. So, you know, I think we need to be careful about that route. But and again, we don't know what way this is going to tilt. That's why Clemson's on my most interesting list.
I think
I put them 22.
They're high on the list too, Walt. Clemson is very high up that list because everything we just discussed makes them one of the most interesting teams in the country.
And again, to clarify, interesting doesn't just necessarily mean bad. It could be good. You know, it's
right.
It's the point is that there are questions and we don't know. That's why I think I put Clemson 22 on my preseason rankings, and that's a little bit of fence sitting with them. I mean, I don't know.
So do you have these most interesting teams ranked?
Not in order of interest. No, I just have 9 teams that I've listed.
Well, let me spit out a couple of. To me, mine is Syracuse.
Yeah,
and then Walt,
Syracuse is on my list. I gave
them the more I look at them, the team that I mentioned yesterday, Kansas State. I think they're a very interesting team. New coach, brought some decent talent in, really good defensive mind coordinating their defense from Texas A&M. Klein brought him in with him. They got a great defensive end from Oklahoma State. Holloway, something like that.
I'm just gonna have to see it. I've just soured on Avery so much that on Avery Johnson so much that
to me, Syracuse to me is the most interesting team, at least in the ACC. But that's because I don't really being a fan of Clemson. If I wasn't a Clemson fan, I probably would say Clemson is the most interesting team in the ACC. But for me, this year it's Syracuse. And Walt, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert. Good job. Morgan, tell me what is Kansas State's schedule? Because Robert said their win total is 8.5, which I find really high. So I'm guessing the schedule is very easy. I don't remember looking at the schedule. Let me get to Joe in Virginia in the meantime on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Joe, good to have you, Joe, as always.
Hey Walt. I'm pretty sure he's off on that. I would say 6 wins was the line for Kansas State, but I might be wrong myself. You know,
8.5 is high unless the schedule's really cushy.
You know, this is a Clemson bash fest. I'm just going to ask you some questions and you take it for what it's worth. I'll just be honest, Walt. I think Clemson drops the game at Clemson. I'm sorry, at California. And they drop Louisiana and Miami. And then Miami. So what happens to the season then?
Well, I mean, there's still, you know, 9 others, so it depends on what you do in those games. I mean, again, that's why Clemson is on this list, on my list of most interesting teams, because I don't know what way it's going to tilt. You know,
and the only reason why, I'll be honest, I'm picking Cal is because the last time I saw Clemson's defense, it was bombs away in that secondary. Boom, boom, boom.
Right, but now that secondary has been completely retooled through the portal with guys that are, I think, are good players. Now, how quickly that comes together and how it gels, those questions remain to be asked and answered.
I think the hinge games for Clemson, in my mind, is probably Syracuse and Clemson, California. I'm sorry. For South Carolina, it's Alabama. I think if Clemson wins those two, it's a different conversation. I think Syracuse is going to be a problem. I think they're a big problem, and not just for Clemson, for everybody. If South Carolina beats Alabama, that everything's on the table. And I know you're you're a little high on Mississippi State, that's fine. But if you don't win in Columbia this century, man, I mean, I don't know. They still have some holes. They still have a lot of holes.
Well, they may, but I think they're going to be vastly improved defensively with Arnett back at defensive coordinator. He's really aggressive, and I think they need that. But offensively, they scored on everybody last year, and they were involved in a lot of close games. And I think the kid playing quarterback for them, and Taylor, is a freak. I mean, he's 240 pounds, and I think he's going to be a problem. I think that offense is going to be a problem, and I think they're going to be much improved. I did give them out as a overplay.
I could see him at 7-5 being competitive in Columbia, but still losing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll pick Indiana to beat Ohio State.
Wow.
I don't like that schedule, and I thought that Indiana was going to beat Ohio State for a long time. And I'll leave you with this, Walt. I had no idea that the OC at UNC was our old man, Bobby. He's going to Fredo Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He did my boy in Arkansas.
That's true.
I mean, you know, appreciate it.
That's true. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Belichick's concubine going for a motorcycle ride. what do we have on Kansas State, Morgan? What's their schedule?
Kansas State. All right. September, Nichols, Washington State, Tulane, and then at Cincinnati.
Yeah, Tulane is not going to be easy. And I don't know if at Cincinnati is going to be easy either. All right.
They get a bye in October 3rd and then go Houston, Kansas.
Houston's at home?
Home, yep. Kansas, and then at Arizona State, at Colorado to finish out October.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. Colorado is a brutal schedule, and they're probably going to suck, but they have great receivers. I mean, they have talent at receiver. They brought in the Scudero kid. He is a really unique player. So we'll see how that plays out. All right. I'm sorry. So give me that again. They play Houston at home.
Houston, Kansas, then at Arizona State, at Colorado in October.
Okay.
And then November, Oklahoma State at TCU, Arizona at Iowa State.
Oh, okay. So if they are 8.5, which still seems high to me, the reason for the chief reason, Robert's making one argument, but I would say the chief reason would be schedule. It's not Colin Klein, it's not Avery Johnson, it's schedule. They don't play BYU or Texas Tech or Arizona. Those are the
no, they do play Arizona and Arizona State, but yeah, BYU.
You said Arizona State. You didn't mention Arizona.
At TCU, Arizona at Iowa State. Sorry, I must have missed.
Okay, maybe I misheard.
I probably didn't say it, but. So, yeah, they do play both Arizonas. They don't play BYU.
And Arizona's where?
Home.
So they get Houston at home, and they get Arizona at home.
Right. Correct.
They don't play BYU, mm-mm. And they don't play Texas Tech,
nope.
And they don't play Utah.
Nope.
So the two toughest games they have are both at home in Houston, where Kansas State historically is really tough to beat. That's a very favorable schedule, a very K-State favorable schedule. Robert might be onto something with them because of that schedule, but I don't think it's because of – I mean, Robert's reasons are Colin Klein and Avery Johnson. I think the reason would be that schedule. The schedule does matter, and that's one of the two easiest schedules I've heard in the Big 12 so far. The other was Texas Tech's schedule. Texas Tech's toughest games are Houston and Arizona at home. They have the same two toughest games as Kansas State does. Houston and Arizona at home. Both teams have the same two toughest games. Both teams miss everybody else. Texas Tech obviously can't play themselves. So so Kansas State actually misses more. They don't play Texas Tech. They don't play BYU. They don't play Houston. They don't play Arizona. No, they don't play. They don't play Texas Tech, BYU, or Utah. They have Arizona and Houston at home. That's a very, very favorable schedule. Whether it all works out for them or not, that's a different thing. Let me tell you about Ace Home Co. Hey, you want to talk about the best? Let's get real. The heat's officially here to stay in the upstate. Accepting the heat is here, though, doesn't mean settling for an uncomfortable home for the next 3 months. Maybe your air conditioner didn't keep up last summer. Or the summer before that, you can feel it dying. You know it's happening. Or the one before that, you shouldn't have to keep worrying and bracing for the day. When you come home from a hard day's work to a 90-degree house when your air quits completely. The good news is when you call Ace Plumbing Electric Heating and Air, their bold white and blue techs can be there the same day, and they always repair where it's fair. They won't push you into a new system you don't need, but when a replacement really is the smart move, they'll present the best options to fit your home and financing choices to fit your budget. We're talking a full brand new HVAC system with industry-leading warranties for as low as $128 a month if approved. And checking to see what you qualify for only uses a soft credit pull. So seeing your monthly cost is not going to hurt your credit. No pressure, just honest options to protect and perfect your home from an actual local family-owned business. For a free quote to see what's available to you, just go to Ace Home Co. and schedule your free service or schedule your service today. Go to acehomeco.com and schedule your service today. Hey, trust me, these people are the best. They're like the best at everything. Trust me. You know the blue and white trucks. They're famous throughout the upstate, and nobody does it better or more professionally with better technology than Ace Home Co. Trust me. And that comes to pretty much everything. So go to acehomeco.com and schedule your service today and tell them I sent you. We'll be back. Maybe he's been thinking about that. Maybe he's been thinking about that possibility, but because he seems relatively willing to let that happen. So, but he managed to tie the Green Goblin into it, and so yeah. How about that, Orange Tiger? What's going on, Orange Tiger? Good to have you.
What's up, Walt? Hey, listen, I just want to say real quick. Love your show.
Thank you.
My favorite show.
Appreciate that.
I love Morgan's show when he's doing it. I know he's flying all over the place, but yeah, I love his show too. Y'all are the best.
Thank
period.
You.
Hands Thank down. I love it. Real quick, I was wanting to touch on what you thought about Clemson and then what Morgan was thinking about, you know, this upcoming game with LSU. Well, basically, this is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I don't really read in too much what Dabo says. I mean, actually, I kind of like what he's doing right now.
Yeah,
that's good. That's what we need right now. We need to get these boys, you know, wanting to play. You know, we can't have them all, oh, look at us. No, we can't have that. So I don't read a whole lot into that. Number two, this is my concerns, where Morgan possibilities could come to fruition, which I hope they don't. But our depth. I'm worried about depth in certain areas, you know, especially, you know, defensive wise. I'm worried about that a little bit.
Yeah. And look, I get the depth concerns. I think there are depth concerns at linebacker and defensive tackle. I think those areas have depth concerns. If you suffered any key secondary injury issues, there could be depth concerns there. But the way I look at that is I don't think that's a big issue for LSU. I mean, that could be a big issue for, you know, down the road somewhere.
If you get banged up, in that first game,
yeah, but it doesn't,
you know what I mean?
Beyond that, yeah, maybe. But just in terms of outcome in the LSU game, I don't think depth is going to decide the LSU game. Both teams are at the start of a new season. So I think depth becomes a factor as injuries mount, but that's not something I would expect to be a factor in game one.
And then on your side, you know, I'm like, you know, well, I don't think we're going to get blown out of this game. I really don't. I think it's going to be close, and I think if we keep it close, you never know. We might be able
that's
to
right.
kick a field goal or something and come out of there with
a
victory.
And maybe. Lane Kiffin's an in-game idiot. I mean, he makes boneheaded decisions that he can't help. He's a meddler. He just can't. He can't tinker. He can't leave it alone.
Also, you don't have a lot of camaraderie in that room in LSU yet because everybody has basically been bought and paid. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, are they there for the money? Are they there to get an education? Are they there to play as teammates? Are they? There's a lot of questions in that. I know that on our side. At Clemson, we try to be family and we try to help our guys, you know, after football is over with, or even if they're going in NFL. I read an article on TigerNet saying that they're doing an NFL approach on how they're going to handle paying some of these young guys coming in and kind of manage their money like a rookie contract, like in the NFL. And then,
it is interesting,
and then
though,
after that.
It is interesting, Morgan. It is interesting, Orange Tiger, that there have been some articles. I think David Hood had one. I believe it was David, but talking about how the transfer portal players are the ones providing leadership, which is sort of interesting.
Well,
good,
I mean, we've got
good or bad.
They're very picky in the portal who they bring into the room, I think, because I don't think Dabo wants some guys. I'm just here for me. I'm just here for my money.
Yeah, but the strange part about that is the guys who were just here for them and the money were the actual guys who were on the team last year.
That is true, but there's an equation to that, I guess there's something that goes with that, and that was something I was going to get to too, because I got a buddy of mine that he lives in Charleston, but he had a niece or somebody he knew that went to Clemson, and Cade was in that class, and from what she reported back to him, you know, it wasn't too good. It's like he wasn't very wanting there to be there to learn. He's kind of acting kind of like clownish, if you will. And yeah. I don't know if that spilled over into the locker room. I'm just saying that's what he told me.
I think there were some internal issues last year. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think
I think that was probably one of the reasons why we had underperforming things with some of these guys that should have done a little bit better. But I'm hearing a whole different thing this year. And I think Vezina, I've heard a lot of good things about his deep throwing balls and stuff like that. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that. You're not going to hear a whole lot about camp right now because I get little bits and pieces here and there. It's hard to come by. They're really keeping this tight-lipped, which is kind of good too. At the same time, it kind of starves us because we're looking for any little thing we can get. And I ain't been able to get a whole lot, but from what I hear, you know, Vezina's doing pretty good, and I heard that Tate's doing really good too. So we won't know until we see it in 22 days or whatever, but you know, it's just going to be real interesting. I don't think we're going to get blown out. I think it's going to be a tough fought game. I just hope that we come out of there without a whole lot of injuries, because if we get a lot of injuries in that game, that's not going to set us up very good for future games.
Yep, that's
so
true. Thank you, Orange Tiger. Good talking as always. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I think that's a fact. Look, if I had to put a score on it right now, I would say something like LSU 27, Clemson 21. I think it's going to be within the spread. I think Clemson's going to compete. I think Clemson's going to have a chance to win. I think it's a game that's played in the 20s. I've been saying this for months. I gave out Clemson plus 12.5 months ago when that line first came out. It's now either 10 or 11, whatever it is now. I haven't even seen it recently. But I expect Clemson to compete. I think ultimately probably lose, but if the game is the type of game that I think, then it's a winnable game. Then something, the ball bounces your way once, Lane Kiffin does something stupid in game once, and suddenly, it turns into a Clemson win. That's conceivable to me. I do not think this is going to be a blowout. Now, Morgan, you've written some things that make me seem to think, and you said Clemson 8-4. So you think LSU is going to win? You think they're winning comfortably?
It's hard to say. You know,
well,
this is the unknown. This is why they're the unknown.
That's
the most
right.
interesting team.
That's why they're the most interesting team.
They could. I mean, can I sit on the fence like you did last two segments ago?
When did I sit on the fence?
You were saying you were sitting on the fence with these interesting teams, and Clemson was one of them.
Yeah, but I still put Clemson 22 in my national rankings.
I think it's most likely that you would run into a similar situation of last year where you lose by, I don't know, a score and a half, you know?
Okay, so you're thinking it's a double-digit game.
I mean, you know, just barely.
Okay,
I mean, it is a home game for them.
Look at him trying to placate everybody here. Look at him. Barely.
I don't see 27-26.
Who said 27-26?
Is that what you said?
No.
What'd you say, 27-24?
27-21.
27-21. Wow, I must have went deaf.
Yeah.
I could see 27-21.
Yeah.
It's a probably a 30% chance of that. It's probably a 30% chance of 10-point loss. There's probably a 30% chance of Clemson winning. Then there's probably a 1% chance of none of those things happening.
Well, thanks for that, Morgan. and by the way, when the next time I come to you, I'm going to ask you about the weather.
Yeah, you know, everything, afternoon showers, 30% chance. Yeah,
exactly. You know, though, it's funny because those people used to suck out loud. The weather people, they used to suck out loud. I didn't care what they said because they were never right. Now they are never wrong, Morgan. Not only are they never wrong, you get this little thing on the bottom of my computer which says it will start light rain in 17 minutes. And then it does. Then it starts light rain in 17 minutes. And you're like, there's not even a reason for it. And the weather people themselves are obsolete. It's the technology. You can put any yahoo now doing the weather because, sorry, weather people, but it's sort of true. The technology now is apparently so good that they just never miss. They know exactly what's going to happen every second of the day. So now they're boring.
I mean, I've seen it. We have something called the TAF. Terminal aerodrome forecast.
Uh-huh.
We call it the true and false.
Uh-huh.
It's like a 24 to 30 hour prediction.
Yeah.
Every, you know, 4 hours or so. And yeah. It, you know, it's 50-50.
50-50?
It's not perfect. It's okay. Usually somebody in like GSP.
Okay,
we're never flying
with you.
It's like Greer.
What do you mean 50-50?
So these
you're telling me that the weather report that the pilots get is 50-50 in terms of being accurate?
One of the we call it the true. We joke that it's the true and false because it'll say, like,
oh,
I said,
this is getting better all the time.
I mean, it'll say
people are canceling flights left and right.
I mean, I do think that we have more stuff than the civilians look at, than a regular person look at.
I'm telling you right now, the weather reports I get are like exactly accurate now. Like I said, I get this stuff on my computer all the time. It will start light rain 17 minutes, and sure enough, 17 minutes it starts, and it's just like that. They give you the exact friggin' minute. Meanwhile, you're up there flying around in jets and telling me your weather report is 50-50. You need to change your service.
Well,
whatever's on my computer, you need to get. If you're up there 50-50,
National Weather Service.
The true and false. There you go. There you go, people. You feeling better about your flights? Mr. Captain Morgan Thomas is telling you that the weather report he gets is true and false.
I mean, it does pretty accurately tell you what the temperature will be at 6,000 feet.
Well, that's great.
But as far as like when thunderstorms are going to happen, not always that great. It's not always that great.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we have lots to get to, and not a lot of time to do it. We'll do that on the other side.
From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson athletics all year long. The Clemson Athletic Network lives right here on The Roar.
On The Roar,
where every day is...
All right, we are back. Lots to get to. Okay, I had this non-sports story, Morgan Thomas, that was hysterical last night. It's not nearly as funny today. But since I plan on telling this, and honestly, I'm actually surprised I even bumped into this conclusion here, but I was just going to tell you what happened. I mean, I can't avoid what happened now. It's just the way it wound up. So there's this professor in Britain named Jason Arday, professor at Cambridge, you know, Oxford, Cambridge, Rhodes Scholar kind of stuff. This Jason Arday, 37, was considered to be a DEI hire. He was celebrated. Youngest black professor ever at Cambridge, celebrated absolutely everywhere. And seemingly really bright. 37 years old, and Cambridge was posting videos where they were just glowing over him. Absolutely, you know, oh, he's the smartest and he's the most amazing researcher and he's just absolutely brilliant and it's so great to have him, and on and on and on. And then it all went terribly wrong, because somebody who apparently, I don't know, was a rival of Jason Arde's, but somebody actually bothered to research some of his work and found that he had plagiarized his thesis, allegedly, and a bunch of other things. Jason Arde chose to step down, said, you know, no, it's false, but chose to step down, not to fight it. And then, Morgan, these things came to light. Jason Arde claimed a bunch of things, none of which were true. He seemed to be one of the most prolific liars in history. He made up his entire life. It was all made up. He said he was nonverbal until the age of 12, that he didn't learn to read and write until the age of 18. His classmates said he was like the most talkative kid ever. He lied about every single thing. He said that he raised $5 million for charity. Well, it turned, then he said, when people questioned that, finally, because the questions finally came, they finally came pouring after all this happened. Allegedly, $500 was actually $300, and it was by a bunch of people raising the money. He claimed to have run 30 marathons in 35 days.
What? 30 in 35 days? Do even actual marathoners do that?
Nobody does that. Nobody on earth runs 30 marathons in 30. This guy was like
Wait a minute, Walt. He also, during the marathon, suffered a seizure.
Yes, yes.
Continued, fractured his fibula.
Right.
Continued for 9 more marathons.
Right. Right.
But they didn't question this? Right.
No, he also went into a coma, allegedly, for a period of years, and then came out of the coma and was fine. Except that there's no medical records of him ever having been in a coma. He also claimed to have run 600 miles.
You know, this is starting to sound like Wilt Chamberlain stuff.
No, this is this whole collection of things is like this guy's entire history. All of it is nothing but lies and made up. And I'm just scratching the surface in terms of all of this listing of these things that he made up and he lied about, and nobody ever bothered to vet him at all.
He installed clean water facilities in South America and West Africa.
Oh, yeah.
For water aid, and now they're saying they never have sent anyone like him.
Right. Right. The question is, which of his lies is actually the most fabulous? There are so many to choose from. It's really impossible to know. I mean, he literally, his whole background, he made it all up. It's just, his entire history is nothing but fabrication and lies. And when I learned about this in the last week or so, I thought this is hysterical, and then it kept compounding itself. And like last night, I thought, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be really funny. This story. I'm not even telling it with the same vigor that I normally would, because it appears he's now killed himself.
Oh. Well, we should have went through the list of lies before you said that.
Oh, before
you just, well, you just still, killed the mood.
Well, you could still I didn't know you had researched and found additional lies. Do you have additional in there that you're looking at?
I mean, I got about a list of 20.
Oh, right. Well, read them off.
Are you sure?
Yeah, read them off. It's too late.
Well, first of all,
it's too late.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, again, look, this is a terrible tragedy, and obviously, his entire life was lies. Somebody should have vetted him. In some way, these people are responsible for his death. We're making some assumptions here. The assumption is that he killed himself. We don't know that to be true. That's not certain. He's dead. That's what we know to be true. Colin Rugg tweeted, this was 2 hours ago, just in, Jason Arday, the youngest ever black professor at Cambridge, who was recently accused of plagiarizing his academic writing, has been found dead. I think that, you know, we can probably make an educated guess as to how this came about, but we don't know this for certain yet. Maybe there's some other factor here.
Dexter.
What?
Do we know if he faked his own death or not?
That's wrong. That's 100% wrong, Dexter. No. That's 100% wrong. You're going to hell for that, Dexter. And I'm trying not to laugh because I don't want to join you.
What does it say about the people that listen to us?
Yes. Oh, we already know that.
Are we the problem?
Cameras, escort services. I already know that.
We are the problem, aren't we?
Yeah. We already know all that.
We're instigating all these.
So, this thing was going to be incredibly funny. And it's not so funny now. And again, the people, Cambridge, in a way, failed this guy too, because they didn't vet him, they didn't check any of these things, and they sort of set him up for this in a way by not vetting this guy the way they should have vetted him. And clearly, they didn't vet any of it. His entire existence. We talked about the Pretender show yesterday.
Yeah.
This guy's entire existence was pretend. None of it was real. Not a single thing. Not only wasn't it real, it was completely opposite of what the truth was. Again, nonverbal until 12. No, most talkative kid in the class.
But isn't this how these things go a lot of times? It's like, you know, they always say, like it keeps going. You can't just, if you do one lie, one little white lie, you know, and then it snowballs.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate snowball.
Look, in his case, he clearly just thought, I'm 37, I got it made, these people all love me, and no one has ever checked anything I said, so they're not going to. He had to get to that point until somebody, see, there's always somebody who doesn't like you, you know?
And well, so, speak for yourself.
Well, I think,
not me. Everybody loves me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all going to love your Clemson loses by double digits at LSU pick. Yeah. If they did like you before, Morgan, that's over now. So go ahead, read the list.
All right.
The list is the list. There's nothing we can do about it. I can't pretend that the guy's not dead now. It would be disingenuous. Here's... if I had just played this out, okay, the way I intended on doing it today, and not told the truth that popped up in front of me about the guy dying, then that would have been a lie.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Number one, he did not speak until age 11.
Yeah, that's what I said. Nonverbal till 12.
Reportedly,
actually, just before his 12th birthday.
Reportedly had autism, nonverbal. Yeah. Couldn't read or write till 18.
Yeah, said
ran
that.
30 marathons in 35 days.
There you go.
Ran 300 miles in 3 days on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Ran 600 miles in 6 days.
That's my favorite.
He took 12 days rest after that.
You know what we call that?
Okay.
What? Moving.
He personally raised roughly $5 million to $5.5 million for charities.
Yeah. Which didn't happen.
Installed clean water facilities in South America, West Africa for WaterAid. Had been visiting a professor.
I wonder if those people are making good use out of their facilities.
Had been visiting a professor at Ohio State University. No record of that ever happening. Visiting a professor in Glasgow after leaving his full-time role there. No professor found. Remained honorary professor at Durham. I'm assuming not Raleigh Durham. Earned a master's degree in psychodynamic practices from Birkbeck University. And became a qualified counselor. Guardian could not locate any of that. Published a book called Being Young, Black, and Male in the Dominant Discourse of Palgrave Macmillan. Book was never published. Played for Crystal Palace under 18 side. This is semi-professional soccer.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I forgot about his semi-pro soccer career. I forgot about that.
Was involved with 7-Up, which sounded like the famous TV documentary series that follows people every 7 years. He later explained he wasn't talking about that TV series. Family received a severed pig head.
Oh, that, you know, that's right.
Due to
racism. I forgot
racism.
About that one, too. He was, yeah, he was.
No police action on that.
Well, he claimed to have been in a TV series, And then and then when challenged on that one, finally, he said, well, basically in his mind.
In his mind.
Yeah, in his he was not in it in real life.
Well, let me tell you something, Walt. I have my mind.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of things.
Yeah.
Masked man confronted him twice outside of the college, threatening him to if he would die if he didn't resign. CCTV has no evidence of that.
Yeah.
Received bullets, bananas, corrosive substances, mutilated animals, and death threats. Cambridge also has no record of any of that. Nearly died in a car crash. Spent 2.5 months in a coma.
This guy's
after.
A black Lane Kiffin.
What? No, Lane Kiffin. Yeah, come on. Don't talk about my coach like that.
Lane Kiffin left Mississippi and said that that people were trying to assault him and drive him off the road. And the state police who escorted him out of the state said that's all a lie.
Had testicular cancer at 34.
Yeah.
And received a $1.4 million.
By the way, that's the best kind of testicular cancer to get, the kind that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the kind that wasn't real.
He received a 1.4. This is the last one. Received a $1.4 million publishing deal for a memoir.
Yeah, that's.
Simon and Schuster said they've never done anything like that.
Say the last part.
Simon Schuster said they haven't publicly said they did anything like that.
Oh, really? Because I had heard that Simon Schuster was still going to publish his memoir. So now that's out, too. And Simon Schuster says that didn't
exist.
Well,
the figure.
Okay.
They're not confirming that was any figure.
Well, you know, again, last night and leading up into today's show, I even mentioned this the morning before the show, this was all going to be great stuff and hysterical. Sadly, it has come to a tragic end, and I don't know what the end result is, but...